He fathered you. He had a battle just trying to figure out how to pay for it. Life is a struggle. And we have spiritual struggles that we go through in our life, and struggles will come. If you're not going through a battle right now, you will go through a battle. I wrote down just a few things. When struggles come, it will cause you to doubt God. It will cause you to doubt the will of God. Does God even love me? Am I even in the will of God? Come on now, I know I'm not the only one here that's human. Does God even exist? I mean, if those thoughts come through anybody else's mind besides mine, am I all alone in this struggle? Is this battle? I mean, what am I even fighting for? You know, God has a will and a purpose. The matter of fact, the Bible tells us that if you're lost, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is the will of God for you to be saved. But sometimes in the battle, we have to question, how do you get into a war like that? You know, God sends blessings. Oftentimes, He sends blessings through people. But did you know Satan also sends struggles to people as well? People will either try to encourage you in the Lord, or if Satan sends that person, they will try to draw you away from God. Listen to me, young people. I'm going to preach to you just for a minute. You'll date that person before you marry them. And if they're trying to draw you out of church, find you another one. I don't know how plainer to tell you. But if you marry that person and it's a struggle, you're marrying a struggle. You're marrying a spiritual battle. It may be all love and roses at first sight. And you may think that guy is really handsome, and I mean, he is just the cat's meow. But listen to me, you will have a battle on your hands before you know it. We need to be equally yoked. You may think that God sent Mr. Right, but if Mr. Right is telling you to go Mr. Wrong's way, it's not right. Some will help support you. Others will destroy you. Struggles come when it will destroy your faith. You can lose trust in people, but don't ever lose faith in God. Faith must stand the test of time, and also faith must stand the test of battles. When you're going through a battle, and you can say, I still believe and I still trust in God, that is real faith. Oh, it's easy to trust God when everything is going good, when blessings are coming and life is all just peaches and roses and everything is just unicorns and, you know, it's all wonderful. But when the heat is on, That's when your faith is put to the test. You may not understand your trials, but you are yet to stand under your trial. Did you get that? You may not understand the reason why, but when your trial comes, you need to stand. God is not concerned. There was a young man that he wanted to get into the farming business. And he invested everything he had, Brother Dave, in peaches. Planted a big orchard. Done everything that he could do, knew how to do to I mean, he put it all in. And there was a hard freeze that come late. Destroyed his peach crop for the year. Devastated him. The young man said he quit going to church. The pastor tried to call him. Different ones of the church tried to get a hold of him and wanted to know what was going on. And finally they got a hold of him. He said, I put everything that I had into the peaches. I put my trust and my faith into God, and God let me down. The old wise preacher in his wisdom told him, said, listen to me, son. God is not interested in growing peaches. He's interested in growing Christians. Your faith has to stand the test of the trial. You'll never grow your faith in the good times. You'll grow when a force is fighting against you. When struggles comes, the devil will try to deplete the Word of God. You remember the parable Jesus gave of the sower? When the sower sowed the seeds, the birds came. When you begin to sow the seeds, the seeds is the Word of God. When you begin to sow the Word, all you're doing is stirring up the birds. The more you sow, the more the birds come. Did you ever stop and think, whenever you go through a spiritual struggle, the first thing that the devil tries to do is take away the Word of God? You'll stop reading your Bible. You'll stop doing your daily devotions. You'll stop spending time in prayer and in the Word of God and reading and studying. The devil knows if he can stop the Word of God, that he will affect your faith. If he can deplete the Word. You know, I was reading through some of the statistics, and it surprised me that divorce rate is just as high in the church as it is in the world. You know why? Because there is a depletion of the Word. The Word is important. If you're a young Christian, I encourage you to read your Bible. 1 John is a good place to start. The Gospels of John. You got John, Jude, and then the book of Revelations right at the end of your Bible. The Bible teaches us in John that he says that you may know that you can have eternal life. Did you know that the word know is repeated 27 times in the book of 1 John alone. That you may know. When the battle comes, you need to know. When spiritual struggles comes, you need to have a rock, a solid rock you can stand on. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, you know what he combated the devil with? The Word. It is written. It is written. We don't need a sideshow in church. You know, every church service can't be a spiritual high, and we've had a good service here tonight. I felt the presence of the Lord here today. But the strength of the church is not measured by special services. It is measured by normal services. And the fact of the matter is you will end up going through a spiritual battle at some point in your life. There are four ways that you can declare an act of war. You know, the president, he can go to Congress and ask for a declaration of war. Struggles will come whether we declare war on the enemy or not. But there are some things that we can do that will put the enemy on notice that I am declaring war. Number one is giving. I don't preach a whole lot about that. You ought to know that giving works. Just try it. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about giving of your time. You give of your time and the devil will attack you. You'll find out that whenever you give, that you're all of a sudden you've got more to do than what you can even get. You've got more on your plate than what you know what to do with. Why did you go and volunteer for that? Why are you weeding the church lawn? Or why are you taking care of the flower bed? Or why are you doing this? You can't even take care of what you got at your house. Whew, I'm preaching. The devil will tangle you up and twist you up in so many knots you don't even know how you're going to get loose. The enemy will fight you on every hand. Number two, when we declare that we are going to worship. When we begin to praise God, watch out. Sister Marcia, look out. Guess who's waiting on you the second you sit down? Well, you just made a total fool out of yourself. Has he ever told anybody that besides me? You got up and you praised and you testified to how good God is, and look what happened. Listen to me. You get down to the altar and you begin to weep. The Spirit begins to move in church and tears roll down your face. And the devil tells you that grown men don't cry. I would rather weep here and shout in heaven than to shout here and weep where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The devil will jump on you and tell you that you just made a complete fool out of yourself. I'll tell you what, just go ahead and praise God. Take another victory lap around the church. You're declaring war on the enemy. Number three, you can declare an act of war when you start witnessing. Am I telling it right, Brother Chris? I've heard you testify about witnessing in the streets of Chicago. Those evil spirits and those people that was filled with demonic beings, they didn't bother you as long as you wasn't witnessing, was they? You get to witnessing to the lost and telling people about deliverance and about how God can save. You are declaring war on the enemy. I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. He didn't call me to the battlefield for me to lay down my weapons and roll over. He called us here to fight. The fourth way that we can declare war is by praying. You ever wonder why you get down to pray and it's a struggle? Everything just seems to leave your mind. You can think about all kinds of things besides what you need to get your mind upon and the needs and the prayers that you need to be praying. The sick and the lost and those that are hurting and dying and the church and different ones that you need to be praying for. It just seems to just gone. You're declaring war. Thought about something that I had read. I went back and found it again. And it's called I'm going to read it to you. It's the obituary of Mrs. Prayer Meeting. Mrs. Prayer Meeting died recently at the first neglected church on Worley Avenue. Born many years ago in the midst of a great revivals, she was a strong, healthy child, fed largely on testimony and Bible study, soon growing into a worldwide prominence, and was one of the most influential members of the famous church family. For the past several years, Sister Prayer Meeting has been failing in health, gradually wasting away until rendered helpless by stiffness of knees. Coldness of heart, inactivity and weakness of purpose and willpower. At the last, she was but a shadow of her former happy self. Her last whispered words were inquiries concerning the strange absence of her loved ones. Now busy at work and places of amusement, experts including Dr. Works, Dr. Reform, and Dr. Joyner disagreed as to the cause of her fatal illness, administering large doses of organization, socials, contests, and drives, but to no avail. A postmortem showed that a deficiency of spiritual food, coupled with the lack of faith, heartfelt religion, and general support, were contributing causes. Only a few were present at her death, sobbing over memories of her past beauty and power in honor of her going. The church doors will be closed on Wednesday nights, save the third Wednesday night of each month when the Ladies Pink Lemonade Society serves refreshments to the men's baseball team. Author unknown. It's sad, but it's true. Prayer Meeting has become an obsolete in our church world today. We come to church three times a week if we're lucky and we want to come and we want to be fed. I like what Sister Donna said, that she quoted from another pastor. She said, if you're only getting service three times a week, all you're on is life support. We need to get into the Word. We need to study. We need to declare war on Satan. Get back to praying. Isaac Newton was recorded in his journal. He said, I can take my telescope and look millions of miles away, but I can get closer to God in my prayer room. Do you realize that you can travel the world and never leave your home? You can pray for people in Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Africa. You can pray for people in Claremore, Foyle, Oklahoma, Chelsea, and never get up off of your knees. The power of prayer. The little boy. I've used this illustration before. There was a little boy. He had a big rock that he was trying to move. His dad asked him, said, son, are you trying to move that rock? And he said, yes, Dad, I'm trying with everything that is within me. He said, are you trying with all of your strength? The little boy grunted and groaned and said, Dad, I'm trying with everything that I've got. I just can't move it. The father looked at him and said, son, you haven't asked me for help yet. Tried everything. But the power of prayer, there's so many times we try to struggle and we go on and on and we try to do things on our own. And all we have to do is we have to ask God, God help me. The power of prayer. Adrian Rogers, that old preacher, he said, the prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that stops in heaven. Jesus said in his words, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You say, but preacher, when I pray, the battle gets harder. It seems like the more that I try to commit, the more I try to do right and try to do good and live a godly, holy life, the more the devil attacks me. Can I tell you that's normal? Let me tell you something. When you're going through the struggle, and you're going through the test, I run across something that encouraged me. Did you realize that whenever the teacher is giving the test, administering the test, the teacher never says a word? You ever wonder when you're going through a struggle, spiritual struggle, a battle, and you pray, and it seems like that you don't get an answer? The teacher never speaks when they're administering the test. You may not have to understand the test, but you have to stand through the test. I know some of you here tonight are going through a battle. If you're not, maybe you need to declare war. We wasn't called to be in Christ's secret service. I don't read where there's any Secret Service members in God's army. He called us out to be soldiers of the cross. When you're going through something, maybe this message will come back to remembrance to you. The battle will be worth it. The test is where you'll grow. I've thought about my test that I went through with my eyes. I've said this and I'll say it again. Brother Isaac, I see better now. Spiritually. Not just physically, but spiritually. Better than I've ever seen. Why? Because I went through the test. I never lost faith. I never lost hope. Because God is still God. You may not understand why you're going through what you're going through. But I will assure you it will make you stronger when you come out on the other side.